Welcome to Light Being Found. My love Jason was in the U.S. Army. 20 days after I found him, I started documenting my journey through video and audio recordings. Join me as I share my journey as a suicide loss survivor, from struggling to find the light to light being found. Hello, loves. Welcome back. We are on season one, episode 10 of Finding the Light, Light Being Found. So in today's episode, I'm going to share two things with you. One will be a quick video I made regarding the voice message I received from my colleague. And then the other one will actually be the voice message that I sent him back. So in the video, I'm just having a moment of gratitude and expressing that in a few minutes about I received a voice message and here's how I felt about it. I think what's interesting is in the voice message that I left him back, something inside of my head had not penetrated listening to his voice message, where he says that he had been feeling like this for months. And the part that I held on to about what he shared is that he was on the plane and felt like he wanted to leave, and then he didn't feel like that anymore. And for me, I internalized that as something fleeting, because he said that it was his plan when he got off the plane and then that had changed. So some part of me in listening to the message discredited the whole beginning portion where he's saying I had been feeling like this for months. And so you'll hear in the voice message I send back to him that I mentioned the word fleeting. So while in this regard, it wasn't fleeting, I have been shared with others that they have had a moment where it has been fleeting. And I just want to really emphasize that, because there's no rhyme or reason to this, especially being in a place where I've been in the position where I am constantly cross-examining myself to understand how I could have missed this when that was not what this was about. And there doesn't have to be a rhyme or reason for me to understand how I could have changed his path. This was his choice, and this was the path that he was on and the decisions he's made. And at any moment, any decision anyone makes can completely change their path. And I understand and I get that. I'm just sharing here now that it can literally be fleeting and end in the act of taking your life. And it also can be something that is an underlying thing that someone is dealing with in a place of their mental health and depression. There's so many different rhymes and reason to this. There's no cookie cutter answer. There's no, well, no, it had to be this, or no, it had to be that. And I think in getting to be a survivor, I have some relations to like pregnancy stories that I've heard where everybody wants to chime in and give their 18 cents to you when you're pregnant. And people that have never been pregnant before too want to tell you how they think it should be. And I've found the same as being a suicide loss survivor, that there's all this input coming from all these places on why or how or what they think was happening with the person when the person left, or what or how they think that I should be grieving, or what grieving looks like, or how they should be showing up, or what they should be doing to take my tears away. There's all these different things that don't really have anything to do with the actual journey that I'm on and someone being able to hold space for it. I attribute a lot of it to our culture and the discomfort that encompasses seeing emotion and the discomfort that people feel when emotion is present, especially in the form of someone seeming like they're hurt or sad or in duress, and the need to want to feel like you have to fix it or that you have to change that energy frequency and have it be something other than what is actually happening. So, yeah, those are some thoughts that come to mind as I think about and reflect on the voice message that I left him back saying that I thought it was fleeting when he clearly did not say that. All right, so I'll play the first video and then I'll be right back.
All right, I said that I was going to start recording every day. And I've missed some. So I'm just going to start recording twice a day, I think. Even if I don't think I have anything to say. Because what is happening to me right now is I reached out to some people just to say thanks. Thank you for thinking of me during this time. Because as silly as it sounds, it means so much right now. I'm just a walking mass. I feel pretty empty. There are little glimpses of me coming back to me. Anyways, I just got a message from somebody that I just regard with so much value and respect. He shared something amazing with me. And to hear him is almost like I'm hearing Jason speak to me. And it was how I internalized him taking his life. That it was selfless, especially with what was going on with us and our whole conversation the day before. I just want to say, I think it takes so much courage to share that, and I feel so appreciative that I have people reaching out to me and being so vulnerable with what's very personal for them, sharing it with me. I know there's many more blessings to come and stories to be heard. This is my path that I will flow now. Right. Today is Saturday, June 6th. It's 12:24. And I got my hair done yesterday. And that was good. I felt a little weird. And I felt so empty. I kept looking at myself in the mirror and was like, could just see the sadness inside. But it was good to do something normal. And I didn't cancel it. Jason and I were gonna have a date night after my hair appointment. And so I contemplated maybe rescheduling it so I didn't feel sad, but I had a little dinner date with Lil Blaine because he's graduating next week and made it into a celebration still. Really, I'm out.
All right, now we are going to head over to my voice message response that I left him.
Hey,
Good afternoon. I just wanted to say thank you so much for sharing that with me. I really appreciate you allowing yourself to be vulnerable to help me out right now. So thank you very much. I think this is going to be a whole story for me. I think I have to write a book now. I think there's a lot of he's a veteran, and I think there's just so many alpha males out there that serve our country and go through this, but they don't share what's happening. And like, I know there's no shoulda, coulda, woulda. I think I understand the steps of everything. And I never looked at suicide differently until the day I found him. Cause it's always been a very selfish act, in my opinion. For him too, cause we've talked about it a lot and we've been together almost 7 years. And I think that I just think that everything came as a shock to me, but as I have some time to begin to process, that I want to backpedal and understand. And I think that well, there's a lot of things I'll probably like share over time because I can't talk the WhatsApp ear off for as long as all my thoughts are. But I think that that's the third time I've said that, now it's fourth. I'm all over the place, but I think that it was good for me to hear that it was a fleeting thought, that you never had it before and you haven't had it since. Because that's the part that I think is a little confusing for me. I notice a ton of signs, hindsight, right? Hindsight. I notice a ton of signs now, but I would have never classified them as suicidal. So I think I've been going through that a lot in my mind. I've been wondering, could he not share how he was feeling with me? Because at one time we both felt it was selfish and then he changed. But none of that matters. And I understand it. And I think more than anything, I understand that this was his journey and his life. And he spent the time here that he was supposed to spend. More than anything, I understand that and I accept it. So I think that that has been very helpful for me. I see like a lot of people can get stuck here. And my heart just aches for them. I talked to Jason about everything under the sun. So I have these conversations in my mind. They're like little gifts. And I'm like super into my emotions and what's going on with them and why and when and how. And I think that that is really gonna help me out too. I just wanted to say, like, I never saw it as selfless ever. I just saw it as so selfish. When he did too, I lost a friend not that long ago, and I just ached for her parents. I don't think a child, we should have to mourn your child's loss. And like he had similar thoughts on the same. I just feel smacked, and it was a shock to me. And I know that there's a ton of people in my position that are going through this, and that they might not be in the place I am and was before this happened to be able to cope with it. Getting a lot of wind, in case you hear a lot of it in the background. Yeah, I just think that I had never seen it as selfless
until then. And she'd been forgetful a lot. And I could probably give you, we're kind of each other's worlds. And I could kind of give you his pattern of what was happening. And I've mapped out where he was at and what triggers and where I was at. And the night before, I had a really big conversation with him about our relationship. And like I just felt like we weren't growing. And usually he has me problem solve and figure out like what our next steps are, because I'm the only one that ever has an issue. I don't know if that's good old estrogen or what. But and this time I put it on him. And I told him that like when he plans special dates for us and that he forgets that I feel worthless. Like I don't feel worth his word. I don't feel worth the thoughts to put that date into effect. I don't feel worthy of him following through and that it had been an issue. And those are the first times that I have ever said those words to him. But like they were perfect because it's exactly how I was feeling. And I felt a shift. Like he was like, oh no. No, I don't want you to feel like that. And I felt like sadness that he'd felt so sad, but I felt relief. Like maybe he gets, like, I don't know what this forgetfulness, obviously now I know that it's a big sign of depression and it eluded me. We've both been in our own career switches. So I think that that played heavy with everything else he already had going on. So I know this is a long message, but my point is that I see the selflessness now. I never saw it until that night. And I always think everything happens for a reason. So as much as I want to say, like, I wish that this time I could rewind. I know there's like a purpose. And he had a really great life and it was super beautiful. And that this was his choice. And that he did not want to be here anymore. And that it is okay. You know, we talked about Robin Williams a lot when that happened. And we both felt like he lived a life that he loved. And he had every resource available to him should he want. And he had chose to leave. Like he got to go home or wherever it is that he got to go. And I just think like, you know, it's so crazy to think that I was his world and that he was going through that much pain and I didn't know. But I know that it's not my fault and I accept it. It's just been a hard time. And I again want to say to you that was so beautiful that you were able to take a moment to share something so very personal with me and that will stay with me and I thank you. I'm at the park with my dog, just having a stand on the corner, sob fest, and very, very many interesting moments like this. But let's see, I think you taught my longest message ever. Yes. I'm almost 10 minutes. All right. Well, I also want to say to you that, you know, I just have a couple people in my life and I'm super ultra personal. So, it's a little weird to talk about this stuff. And I really appreciate, like, everybody's been so supportive. And it really is kind of like a lifeline because you forget to function a little bit, I think, going through this. But anyways, okay, damn. I'll wrap it up now. I hope you have a wonderful weekend and thanks again.
Also, in my voice message, you can kind of hear that I'm beginning to start to really map some things out. And part of me is getting a little bit of my bearings and kind of figuring some stuff out. I touched briefly on our conversation that we had the evening before. I think there's a lot of different ways to look at that. And initially, when I reflected on it, I felt gutted, but I don't feel gutted. I'm really intentional with my time, my energy, what I say, how I say things. And that goes for that conversation we had as well. And I was really detecting like a disconnect between Jason and I, and I could not put my finger on it. I felt ultimately that he must have been falling out of love with me and what I was incapable of conceptualizing and understanding and realizing and putting together is that he was actually falling out of love with himself. And that was what I was detecting, the subtle change in our relationship that I couldn't quite figure out. That also with the underlying grappling that he was doing with his life purpose and trying to figure out where he actually fit into the world, and knowing that he did not want to be in the military again, but nothing that he could find that he was doing was bringing a sense of purpose to him where he felt of service and or enjoyed what he was doing. So he was really having a lot of inner turmoil with that. But we were both kind of going through transitions within our careers. And so I kind of just took it that he was going through the blues, and they were far deeper than I understood. And the reason why I did not understand them is because he did not share them with me. He came from a place of not sharing some of these struggles that he was having, where he was outright discussing them. Like I'd mentioned, he had mentioned little things in passing. I've actually drafted a little list, and I know at some point that'll come up and I will discuss, my hindsights on them. But they were tiny little things where he was sharing like plausible what if or where I could have received them as like, could he be feeling like this? But I didn't. And he went about this in a way where there was no way that I could have even understood that this is really where he was at or what he was feeling. Another thing is the Robin Williams. We talked in such detail about that, whether Robin Williams did indeed take his life or not, is the discussion that we had around him was suicide. And we talked so in depth about it, and we were both in a place of honoring his decision to want to leave this world. And that was a transition in our communication around suicide and the act of, and how we had felt about it or thought about it. But because I was also coming from that same vantage point in our discussion of Robin Williams leaving, I didn't take anything in from that discussion of this even being something that could be a possibility that he would be thinking. Yeah. So something about Jason also is like he when you think of like a manly man, he was it. And although he was very emotionally intelligent and having those conversations in depth with me, he also had the capability of not sharing what what he wanted to and navigating some of his emotions on his own, which you are understanding is part of what I was detecting and picking up at the end there, where I was feeling a disconnect. And I also wasn't understanding like the forgetfulness. And like I mentioned, I'd felt like maybe he's falling out of love with me. I feel a shift and I can't put my finger on it. Like, I don't understand what is happening. And I put words to that and I shared my emotions regarding that. And yeah, it definitely still comes with a lot of emotion, but it doesn't come with regret or the desire to change how I went about all of that and how all of that played out. There really was no way for me to have understood this. There just wasn't. Hindsight is 2020, and I've learned so much since then. And now, where I see people in my life maybe going through something, I'm able to detect it so much earlier. And also, I'm able to understand and see different shifts within myself when I'm having a different emotional response and or reaction to things that are happening external in me. So I've definitely grown in my understanding to a place of heightened awareness of these type of sensitivities regarding someone's life force and desire to be here. But it took going through this experience to actually be in this place. And had I not gone through this experience, I still don't think that I would be coming from the place I am now to have the awareness that I do. So, as you're also navigating your journey of loss, to give yourself grace on whatever the storyline is between you and your loved one, and to not beat yourself up about it. And if you can again fall in and lean into a space and place of acceptance and kind of dance with understanding that this is how your story is unfolding and has unfolded, and what are you going to do with it? What place are you going to come from within it? And where does your perspective lie? There's a few different quotes that I love quotes, I guess. Quotes and anecdotes that have really been a staple in my life. And one of them is, where energy flows, attention goes. It kind of piggybacks on a lot of different things I've been sharing in these podcasts with you. And another thing is that everything that is happening for me. So it's in service to and for and of me in tandem with my journey here. It's providing me something that I've needed, asked for, or desired for me to learn through my time here. And I think that coming from that perspective has really helped me be able to navigate this storm to where I'm the eye of it. And that, I believe, makes a world of difference in how I maneuver myself within this life and how I dance with these different things in my life. All right, with that being said, let's go into today's story. All right, here is a part of the book. It says Jay loves himself some oysters. We're at Pike's Place Market wrapping up his 31st birthday. We always take each other's birthdays off, starting with his 31st. We started that day out with escargot tasting, which he loved. I also love that picture of us up above. He has such a cute face, and I love his dimples. I used to tell him all the time, like, "Ah, you're so cute." And he would say, "No, you call a dog cute. Like, I am handsome or I'm good looking." And I'd say, "Oh, you're so cute for saying that." Kind of mess with him a little bit. Yeah. So next we're going to go into my quote, which is not actually really going to be a quote. It's going to be an excerpt from How to Cherish Life. And it's a little bit lengthy, but I feel like it is really fitting for where we're at in the podcast. This is episode 10. We only have one more to go. And I think that this also kind of echoes to some of the things that I've been sharing with you throughout the episodes. All right, this is entrepreneur and creative director Andrew Anabi on How to Cherish Life. When life changes, you will probably miss the way it was. You may miss those long morning drives or walks to the office, or those hectic family gatherings. You may miss them because those moments are finite. You will only travel those streets and see those people a certain amount of times. Every time you do something, that is one less time you do it. One day you will do something the final time, and you will rarely know when that day comes. For all you know, today might be the last time you walk in a particular neighborhood, or it might be the last time you smile at a particular someone. To think otherwise would be foolish. Nothing is guaranteed except this moment. Your only real choice is to cherish every exchange like it is your last, because it very well might be. Therefore, the best way to cherish life is to remind yourself of life's impermanence. It is to remember that every time you see someone, that is one less time that you see them. It is to remember that every time you go somewhere, that is one less time that you visit. By doing this, you naturally slow down, almost like a reflex, and you start to truly live. I think that one of the things that have really become cemented in my journey is the play on the word present, because I think it is always the present that is being given to you, and that is why that word is interchangeable. Really, all we have is this moment. And it's a great way to ask myself and remind myself, what am I doing with this moment? And also, speaking of the word fleeting, life is fleeting. I really feel like we're here for a blink of an eye, and every moment we get to be here. And what are we doing with those moments? And so my wish for you in navigating these moments is that you are open to and leaning into the healing and giving yourself some acceptance of whatever's occurred and being compassionate towards and within yourself of however everything played out and what you feel your role was it in it and during it. Yeah. So as we wrap up today's episode, if you would like to catch this in video format, head over to at lightbeingfound on YouTube. And if anything resonated with you or came up or brought up a story within you or something that you really just want to share, head over to YouTube or Instagram at lightbeingfound and let me know in the comments. Wherever you're at in your journey, I'm sending you these big, amazing, heart-filled JAM hugs filled with so much love, compassion, care, and please be gentle with yourself as you navigate this terrain. It is rough, and you are listening to your inner chatter. Remember to also love yourself and to have some self-care through this navigation. I'm sending you massive love, lots of light, and a lot of healing on your journey. All right, all my love. Take good care.